may be seated. I'm going to introduce Dr. Anderson, then I'll pray, and then we'll get started. Let me say this first of all. Dr. Anderson is our friend.
Yes,
ma'am. You know, there's enough things in life to be unsure about. Friends shouldn't be one of them. And I thank God for Dr. Anderson. He's my friend. Second of all, Dr. Anderson is he's a layman that walks with God. Let me tell you, that man walks with God. Brother Anderson, I don't know if you saw this morning, but my dad made this pulpit for me. But on it, I have a little plaque here. It says, "I yield to the Holy Spirit." Every time I stand here, I see that, and in my mind, I keep saying, "Oh God, please help me. Holy Spirit, please, I yield." That's the way this man has lived his life, I promise you. From the time he got saved and God got a hold of him, given tens of millions of dollars, over 22 million people saved by his giving. We look at Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, and Jack Hiles and say, boy, they had 1 million souls walk the aisles during their preaching in their lifetime. There's only 3 people in history to ever do that. Can I tell you something? Through this layman's giving, God did over 20 times that much. And we can't even calculate it all. I can't wait to get to heaven just to see how Doc's account's going ching, 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 ching up there. I'm excited. I am. And let me say this, you know, Dr. Anderson's generation is passing off the scenes, and men of God like that aren't around much anymore. The world has changed. There's still great men of God out there, but the patriarchs like Dr. Anderson, the Dr. Robertsons, the Brother Hileses, the Dr. Rices, the J. Frank Norrises, the Lester Roloffs, the other great men of yesteryear, they're gone. Yep. He walked with them. He knew them. Many of those men you know because of him and didn't even know it. Quietly behind the scenes, just doing what God asked him to do and happily doing it. He's come to our church. He's paid his own flights. He threatened me within an inch of my life to not pay his motel bill. Literally. he took my wife and daughter and I out to lunch today. He does this all in his own tab. He says, "I don't want to cost your church anything, preacher." And here's a man that knows how to give back to God and give to God's people. And I thank God for him. He's our friend. Dr. Anderson, you come preach to us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Thank you for the kind words. Anything I am, I owe it all to Jesus. I know what I was, and he saved me. 1 Samuel 9. Now, follow along. I'll try to condense it some. I won't be over 2 hours. Thank you again for all the goodies you gave me in the notes and that. Notes day. I like 90-day notes. You get down at the bank. So I don't know where I'm using note from another, but I know when you're singing from the heart. And I know when you're singing from the head, you're trying to get every little bit right, trying to impress people, not God. I like some woman get up down in Kentucky and she'd be singing. And so she sang to her, and she starts, tears start rolling. And she brings the house down. Her heart gets right, you see. Her heart's right. She's singing from the heart. She's wanting to praise God and start singing about Jesus and breaks down and start crying. That's what I want to hear. I don't know any music, honestly. The only notes I know is 90-day notes I've signed to bank. I don't know one note from another. I don't know a cue. I don't have the faintest. What a man is doing waving his arms here. I've never figured that out. I can't figure it out. I watch it and try that. I don't have time to go to school to learn it. Now, all right. It says about a man, he had a son named Kish. Had Chuck. I'm going to tell you the first 4 or 5 verses. Man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of, well, anyway, he had a son named Charles. I can't pronounce all those names. And verse 2, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, a goodly man. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than anyone else. In other words, Saul was shoulders up higher than anyone else. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, take now one of thy servants with thee, arise and go seek the ashes. And he passed through the Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of, how you pronounce that, Shalshay?
Yes, sir.
And they passed through the land of Shalem. And so, boy, they still need words in there. I'm just going to skip them. And he's, now look me down, verse 5. He got his servant, and when they came to the land of Zup, I guess, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father, caring for the asses, and take thought for us. In other words, now we looked everywhere. Now, if we don't go back home after 3 days, Daddy's going to send, come, Saul said, Daddy's going to send somebody to come after us. Now, the best friend that you can have in the world is a friend who keeps you the closest to God.
Yes, sir.
Be careful who your friends are.
That's right.
I advise every one of you, especially you young people, you get some lady, you're someone that you be like and be your hero, and you study her. She's had been married like 50. How long has your dad and mother been married?
54 years.
54 years. Go talk to her. What did you do that you could satisfy a man for 54 years? And start interviewing people, and you get your mind on somebody who's been successful. Mm-hmm. If you're doing business, I'd like to consider talking to Russell Anderson. But you get your mind. Now, my heroes were Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. Tom Malone. Dr. Hiles, of course, he and I at the college, and he let me be on, asked me if my name be on the college there. I've given that college about $12 million. And the just custodian down at that college now has more say-so than I do. I have no authority. And so I told some down, I said, I'll never give $12 million to somebody else without sticking some clause in there. If the founder dies, or Russell Anderson decides who's going to take the replacement, not a bunch of backslidden, sorry, forgiving the deacons down there. Don't have any sense. None of them down there loves God. None of them don't love what Dr. Howells did for that town. I'm not going to charge you for that. You look at a man here, I started following him when he didn't have nothing.
Yes, sir.
And by following him, Dr. Rice, and the part they taught me in the Bible. And then nobody criticized that man. I've been with him day and night. I've been in him through all the battles. Okay, let me go off that. But beloved, God loves us. And so he said here now the best friend you have, somebody keeps you close to God. Somebody comes out. Get your hero and follow him. Study him. See what they do. Learn. Honestly, I'd interview some of you young men or young men, and I don't interview a man that's been married 50. How in the world do you put up the same woman 50? What did you do to stay together? You see, the person keeps you. You got to have a role model. That's what they call it, right?
Yes, sir.
A role model, a mentor. And so Dr. Hiles and Dr. Rice, they became my mentors, and Dr. Tom Malone. Verse 6. Now, here's what he did. He said, now, let's to his servant, let's go back. My father's going to come look at it. And his servant said, he said, and behold, there is in this city a man of God that is an honorable man, and all that he saith come surely to pass. Let us go thither, peradventure, so he can show us our way. There is in this city a man of God, he said. Now let's go see a man of God. You ought to get your eyes on somebody who you think is a man of God,
yes,
and following the way I did.
Yes,
now,
sir.
He said, then said Saul to his servant, verse 7, but behold, we shall not have anything to bring the man of God. For the bread is spent, and we've eaten all our food, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God. The man of God, notice the saying, the man of God. I won't mention that a lot tonight. The man of God. There's in this city a man of God. What have we to give the man of God? His servant in verse 8 said, and the servant answered Paul and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Now we'll stop here and put this in. If somebody has appointments and you have to go, or a previous appointment, I understand you have to leave. You don't make me mad. But if you stay, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be glad you did.
Amen.
If you don't have to go, it's better than any television program.
Yes, sir.
This right here is going to teach you something tonight. The man of God in this city is a man of God. And so, verse 8, to give this man of God. So, look at verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. The man of God. The man of God. Notice that. And the man of God is called is a seer there in verse 11. As they went up to the city, they found a young maiden going out to draw water and said to them, is a seer here? And the answer said, well, I'm going to paraphrase here. This is in front of you. Hurry up. You can catch him. It was Samuel. And Verse 15, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before, Saul came saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send a man out of thee, out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people. In other words, he said, I'm going to make him a man of God. A man of God. And said, and then he said, look what the man of God said in verse 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer, go up before me. Saul didn't even know him. And eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go and will tell thee what in thine heart. Verse 20. As for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and whom is hid all the desires of Israel. And so so he took Saul up, Samuel did, let him eat with him, and I'm perfect. That's in the rest of here. I'm skipping over for some time. And so it says here about Samuel. And then it says here in verse 27, as they were going down the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid this servant pass on before us. Take your buddy going out in front of you. And he did pass on. But stand there still a while, and I'll show thee the word of God. Verse 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, is it not because the Lord have anointed thee to be captain over the inheritance? And so I can go on and tell you, but I'm going to skip some here. I'm going to go to 1 Kings. Go to 2 Kings chapter 1. I'm going to go back on to this theme here. 2 Kings chapter 1. This theme about being a man of God. A man of God. I see. I want to show you what a man of God is. About here, another man of God. And I said, I'm trying to condense some of it. Verse 12. I'm going to go skip way over to Elijah, 2 Kings 1, verse 12. Talk about Elijah. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, the fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of the God came and from heaven and consumed the 50. And again, they sent another 50 in verse 13, and he said the same thing. If I be a man of God, a fire come down. Then he sent a third 50, and that 50, and then he came up, and he said in verse 16, he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for much as thou hast sent messengers unto inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, for there is no god in Israel. So I'm going to skip on over that, and then it says here. And the rest of the Acts, Jehoshaphat. Now, let's go down to chapter 2. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven, a whirlwind, that Elijah went with him. Now, I'd like to tell you what Elijah did on Mount Carmel. You know how he prayed down, he killed slew the animals and put on the altar. Baal slew the hit their animal and called on Baal about all day. And God said, holler a little louder. Elijah did say, your God may be asleep in that. All right, he's off on a journey, and they called, but then he repaired the altar and prayed, and you know how the fire came down from heaven and licked up the sacrifice. And let me tell you here, a God who cannot burn wet wood is no God at all. Mm-hmm. Think of that. Yes. Their God could not burn wet wood. Our God can. It licked it up. All the water ran, poured very well for that. Then it said in verse 2, now I'm leading up something, now let me lay a foundation. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah in heaven, a whirlwind, that Elijah went with him, with the Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said, and Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee, for they went down to Bethel. Now here was another prophet, Elijah. He wanted what the man of God had, Elijah. I've told you the importance of finding you a role model. Measure your life after. Elisha found Elijah and saw all the miracles he did at Mount Carmel, and he wanted to become a man of God. Now let's see what he said at verse 4. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I won't stay with you. You've got something that I want. I want to be a man of God. I'm paraphrasing here. Now I'm going to skip on over for because of time. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry ye here, before the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets stood to him, with view afore all. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water and said, and they divided hither and thither so that it went over on dry ground. You know another instance in the Bible where they parted something and they went on dry ground? The Red Sea. You know in the Red Sea there's as much as 70 to 100 feet deep? Do you know now they have geologists and stuff, they've got pictures of that. There was mountains all over. There's nowhere that they could come out of that Red Sea except one path that God led the children of Israel. There's only one way. Do you know they have found wagon wheels and all kinds of artifacts down there and that bones? Yep. Proving that the Bible is the Word of God. And so here it is. He smote the water. And he said, verse 10, and not in verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said, Elisha, tell us what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. Elijah said unto thee, I pray thee a double portion of thy spirit upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be done unto thee. And it came to pass as they were went on, they talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and the horses and fire parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up in the whirlwind. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes. He rent it in two. He took up the mantle. Elijah fell from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And when the sons of the prophets saw him, and they said this, the sons where the view of Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to him. See, Elisha wanted to become a man of God. In order to find a man of God, he had to follow a man of God. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe in this city, Saul's servant said to him, I believe in this. In this city, there is a man of God. In this city, there's a man of God. Now, in chapter 4, verse 8, now let me turn to chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 7, it talks here about the woman cried. I'm going to skip to verse 8. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to the Shunan, a city called Shunan, where there was a great woman. Great means she may have been a means of money, a property, I don't know. And she constrained him to eat bread. So this tells me now, later on, look what God's going to do to this woman because he was good to one of his servants. Anytime you and I have a chance to do something for one of God's servants, and it's in our power to do it, we better do it.
Yes, sir. That's good.
See, God blesses those. You do something for one of my children, I'm going to help you. My daughter's in college, the car's going to start, and there's some maintenance man they got her car started. I told my daughter to get me his address. I sent him $100 or $200 worth of gifts to some restaurant. Or you help my daughter, I'm going to help you. You do something for one of my children, I'm going to do something for you.
Yes, sir.
It's the same thing the way God does. You get a chance to do something. Let me tell you, if you really want God's blessings on him, blessed is he that considers the poor, for the short shall deliver him by the time of time. He that, Proverbs 19:17, help me out. No, wait, this may I tell you. Probably not. He that giveth the poor lends unto the Lord, that's what you give him when you pay him again.
Yes, sir.
Don't never forget the poor people. Yep. I haven't. I've never got above my raising. I help the poor people out. I don't run around rich people. The only thing holds them together is dough. They're not my friends. You're my. If I was in a church, you'd be my friends. If I had a chance to go to some rich, if he gave me a chance to say there's a rich man in my house, he's got a big mansion, we don't have a meal there. Or there's poor people over town, they don't have very much, but they've got good cornbread and pinto beans and fried taters, buttermilk, milk. I said, forget that steak, that rich man, we're going to see the poor people.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I've been there. That's what I raised on. That's what I still like.
Amen.
Don't get above your race. I don't know how you got me off on that. And so, but anyway, talk about the man of God. Then he said, look here. Now, she stood to something, and she said, verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunam, where was a great woman. She constrained him. Now, you come and eat some bread now. You've been traveling. You come on in. I don't think she was saved. And so it was that as often he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And then she went to her husband one day, and she said in verse 9, she said to her husband, behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. A man of God. A man of God. And passing by continue, let us have built an addition on our house, what you said. Now look at, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set him a bed and a table and a stool and a candle stick, and it shall be when he come to us, he shall turn in thither and rest. She's doing something for God's servant. And it fell on the day that came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to his servant, Gehazi, he said, I'm going to paraphrase it, call this woman here. She's been really good to us. Let's see what I can do for her. And so they went to the woman and said, say, you know, Elijah knows the king, and I can get you, I can speak, I can get you a good promotion. And she didn't know I'm going to dwell with my family, she said, and I'm paraphrasing, telling him. And said, verse 14, and then he said what can be done for her? Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her, and he came and stood at the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, don't you lie to me. Thou man of God, don't you lie to me, thy handmaid. And a woman conceived and bare a son. Now, old ladies in here, let me tell you, I'm just right here, well, old woman got a baby, have a God. Yeah. She did something for the man of God. I don't know about some of you old surpluses. I'm having the time of my life. I'm happy. Now, a man of God, just a man of God. And so there came a man of God. And then it says all through it, several times, man of God, 13 times, I think, and 14, 15. Now, I'd like to tell you, ask you something. I believe, I've not been in this town very long. I've got acquainted with the pastor. I've seen the building he's in. I've seen all the work he did in that old building, where all the walls and all the money he spent. I see him stepping out on faith. I believe as sure as my name is what it is, he is a man of God.
Yes, sir.
I believe you have a man of God here.
Yes, sir.
I believe you have a man of God.
Amen.
It remains what can be seen. Dr. Jack Hiles went to him one time about getting out of business. I said, I'd worth $400,000 or $500,000, I guess. I want to be a visitation pastor. I said, I'm not qualified to be a preacher or pastor, but I said, I can be a visitation. I know how to win souls and teach people to win souls, win 10, 15 a week. I said, I'm thinking one guy to be what you think. He said, Russ, I want to advise you to stay in business. Now, there needs to be some man in America that can show the world that you can live a Christian life, separated from the world, believe in the fundamentals of faith, be a soul winner, and God is looking for a man that can do that, and we need to have a man to do it. I'm going to advise you to stay right where you are. Now, those folks, I hadn't listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
400,000 or 100 million. I listened to the man of God.
Amen.
I got my eyes on a man of God. Don't worship the man of God. He was the man of God
In
my life. I got my eyes on him and Dr. Johnny Rice and Dr. Tom Malone. He had a great influence on my life, too. I got some mentors that I could study after watching. I wondered what they had, you see. I listened to the man of God. Don't go to some psych. You got a problem. You got a man here, a pastor.
Yes,
he's been trained. And when God calls a man, he gives them some wisdom that we don't have.
Amen.
You come see the man of God. Don't tell everybody in the church your problem. Just because a lot of gospel gets turned off. Come see a man of God that has experience, that's proven himself. There is in this city a man of God, and I believe that you have a man of God in this town. Now, I'm going to show you something about Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, this is important. Let me lay a foundation about Elijah. 1 Kings chapter, I think it's 19. Let me turn over and hit Elijah. Oh, Lord, help me, please. Look at verse 19. 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed thence at Elijah and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yokes of oxen. May I ask you what Elisha was before he met Elijah?
Farmer?
Huh?
Yes, sir.
A layman?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Now I have a question for you. He says here, so he departed thence, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and with the 12th, Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. God never uses a lazy man.
Amen.
That's right, sir.
I'm going to tell you that. There's room in God's work. You're a worker. This man here at 4:30 this morning, a man of God wanting to do something for God, he rises early. And said, 12, verse 3, and he cast his mantle over him. See, he was not a lazy man. He left his oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray, this kiss my father and my mother, and I'll follow thee. And he said, go back again. And you know what he did? He killed the yoke of oxen and that. Now, what was Elisha before he met Elijah? He was a farmer. Now, there is in this city a man of God. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there in this church a layman who's a man of God? If God could use I claim in some small way. Now, if I know this much about God, I got 1,000,000 miles learned. I haven't arrived, but I studied this book. Let this mind be in you, which I've got the mind of Christ. I started 7 business. In some small way, this is a small way, I proclaim to be a man of God. As a layman,
yes, sir.
My record speaks for itself.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Jack Howe said, you stay in business. It remains to be seen what God. I said, well, with God's help, I'll be that man. And this book and my testimonies have been all over the world because I listened to a man of God. Now, you got a man of God. Is there in this church a layman who is a man of God? A layman who was a farmer with several yokes of oxen, 7 or 11 yoke of oxen, a farmer. And he saw a man of God. He said, I want to become a man of God. Is there anyone here that's not a man of God, a layman who would like to be a man of God? Good. Elisha did. Elisha did. And so, I've got other illustrations here. I can't go on. Elisha, have you, Bart, Bill, and I did. And so, to qualify, I tell you, to be a man of God, the first thing I'm going to have to tell you this here. They have to come in time in your life when you got to search it. You say, God, what do I want in my life? Won't you use it? There has to be a total surrender.
Yes, sir.
There has to be a time that you surrender your work to God. And so it says, and I have it down here if I can find it. He went, a man of God. You got to do it. And R.A. Torrey wrote a little pamphlet about D.L. Moody. 7 things why God used D.L. Moody, and one of them was he was a totally surrendered man. If I was to turn the book of Acts because of time, I'm not going to do it. I lay a groundwork. I lay a foundation. See, a man of God produces men of God. It's his responsibility to try to produce you, get you man growing and feed you the word of God and grow you into man of God if you like. You can become a man of God by watching the man of God.
Yes, sir.
That's why you should be here Sunday morning, Sunday night. When this ought to be the biggest thing in your life, other than your job. You're working, paying bills. You know, when you get that done, you and your wife get together with your wife. No, leave your wife. You all get together and say, now, how can we train our children that? And you do it in that church. You do it together as a family now.
Yes, sir.
Don't be gone all the time with your wife. And you hang around if you want to become a man of God. Now, I want to tell you, the man of God, see, Jesus was a man of God. He produced his 12 disciples. They became men of God, right? Huh? The 12 disciples produced the deacons. 120 in the upper room. Guess where they got the qualifications to 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom we may point over this business? Guess where they got them from? I say they got them from 120 men. I can't prove them in Scripture, and you can't prove them wrong. They had the qualifications.
That's right.
So Jesus, being a man of God, produced the 12 disciples. And the disciples, they lived their life to where they produced the deacons. And then we come down to Philip. We come down to Stephen, who was stoned to death. Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You find out in chapter 6 there, where Stephen was full of wisdom. They couldn't. He's smarter than all of them. Layman. And when he died, he's the only layman that ever saw Jesus and God in heaven before he got there.
Amen.
Nobody else ever saw him. And the Bible's not recording.
That's right.
He said, I opened heaven and looked up and I saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. The little boy went home and said, Daddy, he said, God's going to destroy the world with his left hand. He said, God's sitting on his right hand. And so But you see, the deacons, you see, then the deacons became men of God. I'm not going to go to, I go to what Philip did, preached. I'm going to tell you one story, I think, in closing. Acts, Dr. Howell said, I quote seven, doesn't I? I tell you, you spend as much time with God as I do, you sure would love him. I live for one thing, that's love. God, I want to love you more tomorrow than I do today. Jesus, I want to worship you and thank you more. I want to honor you and bring honor and glory to your name. I live but for one thing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I give my own physical examination. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Hey. Why don't you tell me I wasn't speaking in this? Test it. Turn me on. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. Hey, give yourself on examination. Get a light in the morning, just as bright as you can. Study in the Bible. You shut your eyes, and that you can see. I can see the effects of that light. My eyes shut. Just as loud as you can get. Put that light right in your eye. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of uprightness. Search me, O God, and I'll stop there. God, have I got any hidden sins? Am I heading the wrong way? Am I meeting someone who's going to try to get to me, or try someone that won't want me to sin? I remember, God, one morning, I've been with you a long time. I was showing a lady something in a magazine. She reached over and kissed me on the back of the neck. I made a left turn. I fled from her. That's because I'd been with you that morning. Now, God, guide and lead me today and take control of my life. Don't let the old devil trick me up. Build a greater hedge about me. The hedge there, they say, is a bunch of angels. I want more angels all over me where the devil can't get to me. That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
See? And so, and the notes and things I get from, have gotten before. I'm not going to that right now, but anyway, see, I met God. You got to walk with God, get the mind of God. And I've tried to be the man that I told Russ, God needs a man, a layman that will sell out, can prove the world you can run a business. You can run a business. You live a separate life. You don't have to go to the mayor's, get it? I don't go to the mayor's breakfast. I don't go to the banker. Sent two young ladies to my office one day wanting me to come to a party. You go back and tell that president of that bank, he didn't make me, God did, and I'm going to go to prayer meeting. When it's not, I'm not coming.
Amen.
I put them straight. They don't invite me no more. They know what. And the mayor of the governor's office wanted me to come have breakfast. He didn't invite me in front of the poor. What do you want to have me up there now for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid. He got dollar marks in his eyes.
Yes.
I'm going to be a God's people. You're my people.
Amen.
You go to my pastor and ask him. That's another thing. I got a letter from my pastor 41 years, and he told me what a great asset I've been to him for 41 years. I'd encourage him, challenge him, live for him. Takes a man of God. Now, is there any layman in here who wants to become a man of God? Ladies. Woman of well became a lady of God. God uses lady, but he takes us total surrender. You imagine 1999 when I had 457 houses and apartments paid for, getting millions of dollars a year in rent. I go on my knees. It takes a surrendered man to do this. God, I want to give you all of it back. Every bit of it back. I begged you for years to show the world what you could do so an uneducated coal miner in your house. And now, God, I'm going to give it all back to now. I want you to show the world what you can do through an old man. You do something to me and do the same thing towards him, you get more credit to me because an old man's not supposed to do it. A young man is. I said, you get more credit to me. I argue with God all the time. God, what did Caleb do for you that I've not done? I want 5 more years. Just so I go day and night and tell people what a great God. But it takes a surrendered man to do that. Surrender man. Now I have a question. Every time in life when you say, God, I'm not much, but I want to surrender. If you can use Elisha, somebody plowing a farmer, I'm going to volunteer. I want you to use me more in the future than you have in the past. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to surrender my life. I want to become a layman who is a man of God, a lay lady. That's about our head. Father, I pray your blessings now upon the invitation, dear God. God, there's men in here, they're on the verge. They're doing everything you want them to do. They're having this work. Great, we'll be their rewards in heaven, but there's one thing lacking in their life for you to use them more. The next step is a full surrender. With their heads bowed now, no one looking at me now. I want every eye shut. How many men would say right now, or ladies, I want to become a person of God. I want to become a man of God. Would you raise your hand if you do? Now, no one, hold them up there. Let me see them now. Hold them up. I want to become that man of God. I want to become. All right. You ladies, you men, keep them up. Ladies, if you want to, just hold your hand up. If you want to become a lady of God, you want to be used of God. Yes, I see the hands. Our Father, we've seen the hands raised here of these men. God, they're good men. They've helped their pastor here. He's a man of God. Now, the next step for them is make a total surrender. A total surrender to God. Yes, I see it. I see it. I see it. With their heads bowed, no one looking around. Lady at the piano, can you play All to Jesus, I Surrender?